It's Best Thing O'Clock. And I just can't wait to tell. Okay, this is legitimately the best thing to happen to me in the past 6 months or so. I was out at karaoke with my coworkers, as you do.
Cool.
Otter Saloon, great place. Go to the pull tab machine. Here's an important context note. I'm wearing brown pants this particular evening. Buying my $3 worth of pull tabs, and this mom at the bar right next to me turns to me and says, "Copper is my color."
What?
And I said, "Excuse me." And she said, "Your pants, they're copper. Copper is my color." It's like, "Oh, they're brown. Thank you very much." But, you know, that's cool. It's like, "I love your plaid shirt. I love everything. This is great." It was like, "Okay, cool. I got my pull tabs." And normally at the bar, I'm like, if the drunk person starts to talk to you, I do the Minnesota, like, clam up, don't talk to them, and hope they go away kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to my coworkers, and seconds later, she follows and squeezes in, like, right behind me, starts talking to my coworkers, and she says, like, "You all seem really nice. Can I talk to you? Are you nice people? Can I talk to you?" And one of my coworkers said, "Yeah, well, you know, we're nice people. That's cool." And she's like, "Good. You look so nice. You're standing over here with your giant asses."
What?
And I was like, and at that point, I had had enough drinks that I thought that was hilarious. I was like, no one has ever said I've had a giant ass before. And she said, No, you have a great ass. You have a really great ass." And, you know, she, over the course of the night, she asked for a handful or two.
Of my ass.
Oh,
she wanted to touch your butt?
Yeah, you know.
Did you let her touch
your butt?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Why not? Moms love me, and I was just, you know.
You're singing great. Like, "Two tickets to paradise.
Candle in the wind."
Oh,
even
wow.
Better.
Wow.
Even better. So that really was my best thing. My night with this drunk mom. That sounded creepy. She later went to touch someone else's ass across the bar, and I felt betrayed.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
But that was my best thing.
Understood. Cool. That's a great thing.
Tess, what about you?
Okay, my best thing is, like, much less fun. I was in Duluth this past weekend. Yeah.
My hometown.
Is it really?
Ooh.
Do you know the Red Herring?
Yes, I do.
I played a show there this past weekend.
I'm playing there March 20th.
Very cool. Nice.
Yeah. That's fun. That's cool.
High five.
Yeah, it was a super fun venue. There was like 4 people there.
Yeah.
The population of Duluth.
Yeah. But no, it was super fun. Cool town. I hadn't been there really ever, so it was nice. And yesterday I was about to drive home after getting some smoked salmon.
At Northern Waters Smokehouse.
Yes, that's where I was. It was
favorite
so good.
Place.
It was so good. Mm. But then I was like, you know, Lake Superior's right there. I'm really cold, but I might as well just go check it out. So I went out on the ice, and it's beautiful. Like, there's no snow, really, so you can see all the different ice formations and how it froze and the different layers, and it was so stunning. I'll show you guys pictures later.
People are ice fishing, too.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of people out there, and I got out kind of far, but there was people way out further than I was. And then I started hearing these sounds, and it kind of sounded like someone was hitting like a wooden bat on hollow ice or something. And I was like, "Oh, that's such a weird noise. Like, what's going on?" And then I realized it was the ice cracking.
Yeah.
Like, and it cracks really loud.
Yeah.
And then it all started kind of shaking, and I was like, "This is freaking scary." And I like ran to shore and then got in my car and drove home. But it was a really cool experience.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's like the quintessential Duluth winter experience. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I never do quintessentially Minnesotan things, so it felt like, okay, I'm doing it this time.
Nice.
Yeah. And what about you? But you need to tell us who you are first.
My name is Al Church, and
hi.
I'm from Duluth.
Cool.
Ooh.
Raised in Duluth.
But you live here now.
I live here now. Yep.
Okay.
South Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Funny thing.
Yeah.
I was in Red Lake ice fishing with my dad and brothers recently.
Awesome.
And would try to sleep on the lake. We slept in a cabin.
Cold.
The ice house.
It's an ice house.
Yeah. Yeah.
With bunks.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm on the top bunk, and I hear this like, boom, like,
yeah,
like that, like this noise, and I'm just like, whoa, what's going on? It's like, yeah, it's the ice cracking.
It's
like,
so loud, and it echoes forever because there's nothing else out there, so it just keeps
it's
going.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Super cool.
Yeah.
What's your best thing, Al?
Best and worst.
Okay.
Because I feel so sore.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
My calves right now, I can barely walk. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, no.
I was filming a music video with my friend Micah Dahl.
Okay.
Just the two of us. And the concept of the video is we started at the Midwest Hotel, and it's all stop motion.
Right.
And the whole concept was I would be floating around St. Paul.
Were you doing the jump thing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
So we have the video is like 3 minutes and 20 seconds long. So we like math, like we're doing our math on our phone, like on the iPhone. We're like, okay, so how many frames per second in like that day in the morning? And I jumped 2,200 times.
Oh my God.
And this was 2 days ago.
Sure.
So I wake up and I was carrying a disco ball.
As you do.
Do you guys want to see the?
Yeah, I want to see.
I just got footage actually, just literally 10 minutes ago.
So it's not the like the old comedy thing where you like jump up into a fork, you know where you're jumping legs in the air, so it looks like your knee floating. You're just like 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So these were little hops,
like hovering. All,
nice on the light rail and everything.
Yeah, on the light rail, Dubliner. We went
Oh, that one's fun.
A tour of St. Paul via floating.
Well, I won't give too much away, but we end up at the Turf Club.
Sure.
Because March 13th, we're doing the release show then. But
did you get hot? Were you? Did you get toasty?
Cold, super cold. Yeah. Oh, this is the Capitol. Well, and the Capitol is being renovated.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they're like, so it doesn't really look good, but it's like this is big like construction zone going on.
Yeah.
The stairs, we were like going up on the stairs. I woke up, my abs and calves were like just so sore. I could barely get out of bed.
Well, you gotta suffer for art, man.
Suffer. Yep, exactly. 2,200 times.
That's amazing.
But so it's like worst, but it's also the best. It's like there's a sense of accomplishment.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel
you should get that out of a music video.
Shouldn't be like, oh yeah, play in like a green screen.
Yeah.
Confetti or
whatever. You do that like all the time.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, but you never jump 2,200 times.
Yeah.
And now you have. You and I. Well, we'll talk to Al Church about his life, his coming record, his musical past, and I have a feeling the topic of covers is going to come up in all their beautiful form. We're excited. It's going to be a very musical Pop Till We Drop. So Al, let's start at the beginning. No, not the beginning. Let's start with like right now. What bands are you currently playing in?
Oh.
And what instruments, I should say, because you are not stuck on one instrument.
I'm not. I have been playing with BB Gun. BB Gun, I play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Hansen and Phil Hicks.
Okay.
But BB Gun and Al Church are the two main things right now. And Al Church, I'm singing. I play bass with Pink Mink.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie Lee, I play bass with occasionally. He's got kind of a rotating cast of people.
Sure.
Mike Lewis usually plays bass, but Cluster Cuss, I play drums.
Okay.
I play drums. Dear Dada, I play drums in.
Okay.
can I just keep rifling?
Well, you're at like six or seven.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
How do you keep it all straight?
I iPhone.
Okay.
The iPhone. I got rid of my Samsung Galaxy.
Okay.
Out the window.
Group texting. You can't group text.
Oh, sure. That's unfortunate.
With Android.
Huh. Does
group texts are huge. Yeah, yeah. I'm about to send one to the Pink Mink people right now.
Texting, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Group texting. That's how you keep it all. Like, what show? Like, what show are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Like, when
what's
do we?
What's the set?
Yeah. What's the set list or whatever?
Not only on the technical side, but on the musical side as well. Like, how do you? Yeah. Keep things separated inside your head.
A lot of it is rehearsals. I mean, we get together, we rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
Does it help that you have different roles in the other bands?
Yeah.
So that the songs don't all collide because you're doing something different.
Yes.
A little bit.
That's the key.
That helps.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
I did Haley Bonner's last European tour. I was playing bass.
Oh, Awesome.
Like with her music, it's way different than Frankie Lee or Pink Pink or mm-hmm. something, you know. I try to do different things
yeah.
that kind of like triggers my brain to like, okay, I'm...
If you had, yeah. if you were in seven Americana bands, maybe it would be a little harder to...
Right, right, exactly.
Differentiate,
right.
sure.
Yeah, when I'm playing punk rock, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you get out of each of these bands on an artistic level?
That's a good question, Alex.
Thank you.
I love to play. I love to create. I have a ton of fun doing it.
Yeah.
Do you
it's basically like my full-time job.
Sure.
You know, yeah. It's like playing music in bands. It's really fun, like just friends creating music together.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite band that you're in?
Well, right now, this Al Church solo stuff is really super fun.
Yeah. Wait, so is Al Church and State still around, or is it?
Well, temporarily, we're kind of on a sabbatical.
Sure.
The solo material when we were working on it is way electronic, way dancey. So the rock, Al Church and State's more of a rock band. So this just aesthetically was just a different decision, and I wanted to separate it.
So the new record is just Al Church.
Al Church, yep, yep.
Very nice.
Yep.
So you have an album release coming up, a big album release show. We've been talking a little bit about what you're currently doing, and it's for Al Church, your namesake band. What is this new album like? What does it do for you that you haven't done before?
It's dancey, it's fun, it's pretty weird. It's electronic, it's a lot of drums, a lot of keyboards. There's not a lot of guitar on it. It's been fun to hear it too, live. It's really full. It's very, very full. There's a lot of instrumentation, a lot of harmonies,
mm-hmm.
a lot of backup BGVs, we call it in the industry. Backup vocals. I'm the singer.
You're the backup.
I'm this. Yeah, yeah.
Just do the chart and get it.
Yeah, I do the chart. Read the music and that's it. You know, the recording process, we have how can I forget the saxophone?
How could you forget?
Guys, the saxophone is all over this record.
Yeah.
Good.
It's so dreamy.
It's lathered in saxophone.
Lathered. It's insane how good the saxophone is.
And why would you choose saxophone?
It kind of replaced the guitar, a lot of the lead. Because I think when I think of songs and like leads and stuff, like, I think about guitar. I usually gravitate to guitar because I can't play saxophone. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Yeah, it's a hard instrument.
I can't play horn, and I wanted to explore that sonic kind of element of the smooth, kind of sultry saxophone.
Were you aiming for a specific style of music to explore? Is this, you know, some people talk about like, I wanted to make my 80s record or whatever. Were you reaching for specific influences here, or is it just kind of what has come out of you organically?
It's like Genesis, like early Genesis.
Okay, nice.
These are the three things. If early Genesis, Hall & Oates,
okay,
and Warren G,
okay,
got into a room and collaborated.
Sure.
I'll throw Dr. Dre in the mix too. Like there's some of those prog elements come out a little bit, and some of those like 80s hooks I really love.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm making my 80s record. It's
right.
It's like I'm making my 80s and 90s record.
Nice. Your generation spanning.
Yeah. It's not. I'm not just gonna stick. Or 70s too, man.
Yeah.
The late 70s.
Yeah.
Stuff's awesome.
So you mentioned that you enjoyed kind of the storytelling aspect of making music and collaborating. Is that how you view songwriting? Like, for you, are you telling stories from your own life? Are you generating stories from fiction? How does that work for
you? Yeah, a little bit of both. Like, people who I've wrote those songs with, all their stories kind of come out. A lot of personal experiences, too, that you have to throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
And even the stories that aren't from me are things I can relate to, things I can kind of sing about and believe in.
Bang, bang on the alarm. Punch into work. Bump your cubicle pals. Kick drum, cafeteria, dance floor. Everybody's talking about the clown.
Did you try and play as much of this record yourself as possible? You talked about, you know, the writing process was very collaborative, but when you got into the studio, and for matters of like economics or whatever, mm-hmm. was it like hammer out as much as you could?
Yeah. The nuts and bolts were me playing drums, laying down bass. I'm kind of a control freak.
I was going to ask, is it more out of control?
Well, the rhythm section is important to me.
Yeah.
The rhythm section is really important, being a bass player, being a drummer.
You got to have it right.
It's got to be right.
It's got to be perfect.
It's got to be in the pocket. Man.
The groove.
Yep. It's all about the groove.
Yeah.
So when does the record come out?
Yeah.
March 13th.
And you're doing a show?
Turf Club.
What's up?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've mentioned that it's carnival-esque. Can we expect any fun elements? Is it going to be like Flaming Lip style, confetti? What's going to be going on?
It's going to be like, think middle school carnival.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not the production is not there. Like, it's not Flaming Lips level. Yeah. I've seen that firsthand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a little more junior high.
Okay.
Like, we're going to do cakewalk. I want to do some games. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
Games a chance. We're going to have tons of games and like.
Are you nostalgic for that time? Is that why you're incorporating these elements?
Yeah. You know, the album's called Next Summer is the name of the album. And, you know, it's summertime, especially when you're a kid, and, you know, summer is like filled with expectations, and, like, you know, flings, love, lost love.
School supplies.
School supplies.
My jam.
You know, borrowing the car and like driving to a show and like checking out new bands, like making weird videos. So I wanted to. Like summer, I really wanted to explore, like, why is summer so cool?
It's romantic.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite song on the album?
Turquoise Sun is my favorite song.
What's the song about?
It's about leaving. It's about love and getting in the car and just leaving. Going into the desert and just driving to New Mexico, driving to Arizona, driving to California. Just
is it an autobiographical song?
Go. Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
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 Uh-oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that come to mind. Just like cigarette hanging out the window. Just going.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm leaving. I'm leaving this place.
All of your descriptions have been so imagistic. Mm-hmm. Like, there's such a like cinematic quality to what's going on with this record. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Thanks, Al.
Hey, you know.
You've given me like a little mental show here.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
You made me excited for summer, too.
Images, man.
Yeah.
It's important.
Life will be so different when you move to the air.
let's change the subject a little bit and go back to the idea of like the cover realm, cover bands, cover songs, everything in that camp. And I have a question for you about sort of what your cover experience is. So I want to know, playing in a wedding band, how many songs do you have?
We have 4 or 5 sets.
Okay.
Of material.
Okay. So if Drunk Uncle comes up and wants to hear like track 3 on, you know, the
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, like you're not that live karaoke band that knows everything. You have a set songbook. That would be too much.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We have a very set songbook. All the members are from original bands. We started it as a wedding gift to friends.
Sure.
We'd be like, yeah, we'll play 5-6 songs at your wedding. And then five, six songs turned into 12 songs.
Yeah.
Turned into 20 songs, yeah. Turned into 30. Now we have like 60 songs that we know or we've played. Now it's a full-blown wedding band. Now we're like, we'll play strangers' weddings.
What do you get out of a cover that you don't get out of an original, other than like not having to write it?
Just,
you know,
digging into other people's art.
Do you find yourself doing like very accurate versions of the original take, or is it more to kind of mess around with it and see what else can happen?
It's a little bit of both.
Cool.
More so in the Hall & Oates cover. I have in 2 cover bands.
Okay.
I feel like
you've been hiding things from us.
I've been hiding things. I feel like All Tomorrow, you know, All Tomorrow's Petty. Do you guys know that band?
Yep.
So it's a Tom Petty cover band, and I feel like they like have paved the way for like guys to just be like, I want to be in a cover band. Let's have fun and play music for our friends.
And I feel like that is acceptable now for quote unquote indie musicians, local musicians to be in a cover band for. Like, you know, there's a local Wings cover band. There's a local, you know, there's a cover band for everyone in town now.
Yeah.
Why did that become acceptable? Because, you know, for so long the joke was like
sellout or
like what you're just doing karaoke or like, you know, you're in some Zeppelin tribute band or something. Like why?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. I mean, personally, I love it.
Yeah. It seems like with a lot of musicians who are like talented musicians in their own right or like have had, you know, their own careers or runs with it. They want to be able to do something that's fun and maybe doesn't take quite as much of that creative process. But then you're also studying someone's art, like you said, Al. So you're really diving in. And that can be its own creative, fun, exploratory process in itself.
Totally.
And it kind of seems like people are starting to have that realization. Like, oh, we can make this be our own while working off an artist from maybe 30 years ago.
Right.
Which is cool. My friend's in a Big Star cover band.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
See, I always thought a George Harrison cover band would be overdue.
Yeah.
I would like to be in that cover band.
And like there's that Traveling Talking Heads cover band that does like the Stop Making Sense reproduction. But a local Talking Heads cover band would do really well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there room for cover bands of more contemporary artists? Like, you know, backing up again, people will do like a Beyonce or a Rihanna or a, you know, a Taylor Swift cover in the course of a normal set of music. Mm-hmm. But is there room for like a, I don't know, a Modest Mouse cover band or like because they're, you know, are they off limits
more
because they're artistically active now?
Right.
I don't know.
I thought about doing a Wilco cover band.
Oh, that's fun.
That would be fun.
You know, like we had a name for it too. Don't they have a song, Choo Choo Charlie was a pretty good band, but I never understand.
So it'd be Choo Choo
Charlie. Choo Choo Charlie.
Okay.
Call it that.
For like the Wilco diehards.
Yeah, right. Or just call it the Yankee Hotel Foxtrotters.
Sure.
Perfect.
That'd be a great band.
That was a good band.
I also, I'm in 3 cover bands.
Oh, man. Didn't see that coming.
Gosh, I said that. I should have this all written down.
Yeah. You need to make a memorial.
I need to make a list of all the bands that I played. And if I forgot, I feel sorry. I feel bad if I forgot bands. But I just recently did OK Computer in its entirety with a bunch of friends.
Oh,
yeah,
so
we did the Radiohead
fun.
Tribute night at the Cedar.
Okay.
And that was interesting because just playing Johnny Greenwood's guitar parts and Tom York's guitar parts. And
fun. So a lot of, you know, local musicians will play those one-off covers, like Rihanna or whatever, Kid Cudi, you know, just kind of mixing it up in their set. Why is that fun? Like, do you think people look forward to those covers now, like seeing local bands do the covers? Do you guys like that?
I think if done well, see, I'm always like, I keep a really strict definition in my head between like going to do karaoke, which is when you can, when you should do, and when, obviously when you're doing the recorded version. And then if you're going to do a cover of something, you should try and inject a good amount of new material into it. Like you should, I think you should really try and make a cover your own, even as you're, you know, exploring someone else's art, that kind of thing. So I'm pro like low key piano covers of Queens of the Stone Age songs, like kind of going in the opposite direction.
Or like really done up versions of like acoustic songs. Just mixing it up.
I think
flipping the script.
I'm pro that. And so I really appreciate when a band will go into something that you're like, I've never heard this song before. What is this? And then by like the sixth or seventh line of the lyrics, you're like, wait a minute. They are covering this song and it's being done so originally that like, you know, it's shedding new perspective on the original. But, you know, not everybody does that. And not everybody should do that.
I really want to cover Thinking About You by Frank Ocean. But do like a piano drum beat version of it. I love that song.
See, I just, and that's the thing is like when you sing along to a song in the car, do you have the like vision in your head of like you performing this song? Do you ever get that, or is that just a very narcissistic thing to do? Not that I do or anything.
No. Maybe if it's a song that like I could sing well, or just a song that like really like fits into your like soul heart cavity, like the ones that kind of like get down deep, and then you're like, I would want to be able to like give that feeling to someone else, maybe by singing that song, you know, because that doesn't always happen.
That's
with,
true.
With every song.
No, yeah, I mean, not with every song, but like, they're, yeah, they're the ones that like you eventually start to inhabit you, and then you want to share that.
That list is small.
Like Love Shack.
definitely Love Shack.
Yeah, that's the first one on my list.
And that's why you save it. Actually, one of my favorite things to do is to sing non-B-52, any song really in the Fred Schneider voice. It could be any song.
Won't you stay with me? Cause I need
hurt myself today.
The Fred.
It works really well with really dark songs. Very dark songs.
Demi Fallon does that like vocal roulette, or that song roulette, you get an artist and then you get a song and you have to cover that song in a different artist's voice. Some people are really good at it. Christina Aguilera did it and it was amazing. I recommend looking it up.
She's very talented. Ex-Tina.
She is.
Gonna get dirty, it's about time.
Do you do a Christina Aguilera song in your wedding band?
But we should.
You should.
Now you know.
I sang Beautiful, the Christina Aguilera song, at my 7th grade talent show.
Whoa. Nice.
And it was so bad. Like just like the sad heart-wrenching moments of
Do you have a tape of it?
My dad does. Ooh. Yeah. There was like coordinated like hand motions. VHS and tape stuff.
Was it solo or with other people?
It was with my friend Annie. But she didn't really sing. I think she like got nervous and
See, she was the one that was singing really quiet. And you're like projecting, and you're like, "Come on."
Well, I think I tried to, but the thing they don't tell you is that Christina Aguilera songs are really hard to sing, especially when you're like, you know, 12 years old.
That's funny. Did you start with covers in high school, Al? We like just as a way of learning how to do music, just play pre-existing songs.
Yep, Smashing Pumpkins covers. Yep.
Yeah, my best friend won our high school talent show our senior year by performing his cover of Beck's cover of The Flaming Lips, Do You Realize?
Oh,
like,
wow.
it was like the Beck solo acoustic version of the Flaming Lips song.
Yeah.
I just realized now that his, you know, he was like two covers deep at that
point.
Yeah. That's like when people cover Hallelujah and you're like, you're just,
right.
just
yeah,
stringing
sure.
this.
Or Hurt by Johnny Cash thing.
Yeah.
My high school debut was playing drums on a cover of Dio's Holy Diver. That was a classic.
We've all had some fun cover experience.
they're fun.
It's
great. Like, you do start to understand like what someone else could conceivably do with a song,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe you take an idea from that and port it down into your own writing.
Right.
I think also you're like, hopefully you're reaching a different audience when you're doing a cover. Like for me wanting to do Thinking About You, like, you know, that's an R&B song and mm-hmm. my band's not R&B at all. So you're hopefully getting someone else into the conversation that you're trying to, you know, have.
Yeah, which, you're injecting your, like, a different genre into your repertoire.
So here, I'm going to put you guys on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy and I couldn't get Taylor Swift tickets for the XL in September.
Are you so sad, Alex?
And, you know, I'm a little sad, but I didn't have any money at the time, nor do I now. So
we can maybe get you on the guest list someday.
But we wanted to put together a Taylor Swift covers night, local bands doing Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
oh,
I'm saying? Like the same night as the XL show. So like, cool. If you can't go see Taylor Swift, which many people can't, you come to wherever.
Station
and see
4.
Yeah. The entry, I don't know, go to station 4.
You should have a house show, Alex.
And so do you guys want to play some Taylor Swift songs?
Yeah.
All right. Absolutely.
All right. You are legally bound to do so.
Yeah.
Does it have to be off the new album?
No, it can be any. And what I wanted to do was put together a gross bluegrass band to cover the new Taylor Swift songs that are not country at all.
Cool.
Like try and countrify all the pop songs.
Wow.
Levels.
You've been thinking about this.
That's a
listen
great
to
idea.
A lot of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
we've
I
covered
know.
This. We've covered this.
Can I share another idea I have?
Yeah.
A couple of my friends know this, but when Garth Brooks was in town, I had this idea called Darth Brooks, where we dressed up like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And we played at the entry, like
across the street.
Play at the 7th Street entry. Play like 7 nights in a row.
Oh my god!
Be like the house band at the entry.
Sure, sure.
But it would be like experimental, like keyboards playing like. I got friends.
So it wouldn't be straight covers, and it wouldn't be Star Wars. It wouldn't be like Star Wars themed rewrites.
Whiskey down in Oasis.
It does sound like a karaoke bar in here right now with that.
Like so
you're the bartender getting up to do a song.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. I know a song.
Yeah.
That's the 1029 for sure.
Oh, yeah. That dude's a good singer, though. He's a really good singer. From behind the bar, one-handed,
pouring drinks. Like.
When I went to the Otter, actually, the best thing earlier this episode, I walked in the door and this burly cowboy dude stopped me and he was singing and I was like, are you singing at me right now? And then he made the ID symbol at me, like he was the door guy who was singing, and he carted me mid country song, like he had the hat and everything.
Is he the one that has the icy blue eyes?
I confess I did not notice.
Okay.
I don't know, mustache.
That's not my name.
Yeah.
If only it was like Avril Lavigne
my name
or something.
Is Alex. You're over 21.
So, what is your internet home? Where can people find you?
Well, let me check here. I'm mostly on Facebook, so I have a Al Church page on Facebook, so it's just Al Church Music. If
nice.
You're gonna facebook.com/ Al Church Music.
Perfect.
Very cool.
And that's the one stop shop.
And Bandcamp. Oh, sorry. Bandcamp. Alchurch.bandcamp.com.
Perfect.
You can do the pre order, which I'm doing a pre order for the record and the tickets to the show. So
nice.
It's combined package.
Sure. Very nice. Well, thanks for coming on, Al.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.